This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi there, Dan Dugan, the other guy from the other side of the news, and we're here with Harvey Wasserman, who has written a number of books with Dr. Bob Fitrakis. He is obviously an author, an activist, an organizer. He has been quite active in the anti-nuclear movement in this country. He now does a radio program from California, and we're glad to have him back here in Ohio.
Good to be with you.
Harvey, you've been back in Ohio, but already you've been down at the State House testifying. Why don't you tell our listeners what you were down there talking about?
Well, the Ohio legislature has a bill. It's in the House side, it's called AB6. And they want to bail out the two nuclear plants on Lake Erie, which are losing tons of money. And they have added... they now want to bail out some coal plants, so there's not even a pretense that this is an environmentally clean or friendly bill. And, Bob, they are cutting out all the solar and efficiency stuff in the state. I mean, this is a Neanderthal attack on all climate sanity. It will destroy any competitive edge that the Ohio economy might have. It's unreal. Because electric rates in the state are just going to go sky high if they pass this thing. It's completely outrageous. And to add insult to injury, there is in the Ohio Code, and this is just hard to even say, it's put in 2015. It's a single sentence in the Ohio Code that sets a setback clause for wind turbine siting. It's impossible to meet. Somebody at First Energy wrote this sentence to slip into the Ohio Code to prevent wind development in northern Ohio. They've been very successful. For the last several years, there have been $4 billion worth of wind development waiting to go into northern Ohio and create thousands of jobs and lower electric rates in Ohio very significantly. And they can't go in there because of this single sentence in the Ohio Code. And, the legislature is saying, on the one hand, we're going to hand $300 million in public money. I mean, these guys are socialists, national socialists, basically.
Well, your good friend Ken Blackwell called them crony capitalists.
Crony capitalists, that's right. You and me, and we should have Ken Blackwell in the studio to discuss this.
Yeah, we'd love that.
It would be fabulous.
The other side.
But, yes, but the reality is that they want to take $3 billion, $300 million a year for 10 years, $3 billion in public money, and they want to subsidize not only the two nuclear plants but a whole bunch of coal burners, and which could be completely done away with by removing one sentence from the Ohio Code, getting rid of the wind cause setback, which would allow this gusher of wind power to go into northern Ohio, create clean energy, thousands of jobs, both temporary in the construction and permanent in the maintenance. And the Ohio legislature and the governor, want to do this. And so let's never, ever hear from these guys that they are free market capitalists. It's ridiculous. I actually advocate, in energy, total free market. Abolish all nuclear subsidies, all coal, all oil, all natural gas, and all wind and solar subsidies. Just to have a free market. And the wind and solar would take over overnight, and that's what these guys are afraid of. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
And the nukes would win because they're so cheap?
Well, the problem is Davis Bessie's 42 years old, the nuclear plant outside of Toledo. And there aren't 42-year-old nuclear plants operating in this world. It's like having a 42-year-old car. Now, I have a 92 Volvo. That's 36.
And they were already cited, right, back in, 2002 or something?
Well, they did something. Davis Bessie did something in 2002 that no other nuclear plant has done. They had a boric acid leak in the on top of the reactor pressure vessel. It ate almost all, well, it ate all the way through the pressure vessel. There was only a liner that protected. We almost had a Chernobyl.
Yeah, there was mentioned it might have been 1/16 of an inch.
About 5/8, actually. You have to always measure. It's 5/8.
I feel much better.
Stop exaggerating, Bob.
Yeah, and it has not happened in any other nuclear plant. It's not clear that they solved the problem with Davis Besse either. And meanwhile, Davis Besse has a shield building. It's the reactor, the big building outside, and it's crumbling. It's literally, this concrete building is crumbling. There was an ice storm way back when, and the ice penetrated the concrete, and it froze up and expanded, and then it contracted, and does that now all the time, expands, contracts. And, it's falling apart, Davis Besse.
Well, at least they didn't put it on a fault. An
earthquake actually, Perry plant east of Cleveland, the Perry nuclear plant, which opened in '87, is the first nuclear plant in the United States to be damaged by an earthquake. And, I'll never forget it. I was scheduled. It was happening in '86. Happened just at the same time that the Challenger blew up. And whoever thought, and I grew up here, no one ever talked about earthquakes in Ohio.
Right.
What knocked out, Perry was not operating at the time. Thank goodness, we have since had a couple reactors in Virginia that were damaged by an earthquake. It's the same earthquake that damaged the Washington Monument. And I would like to see the training exercise to have guys and women operating a nuclear plant in an earthquake. I mean, you'd have to build a control room on a shaker thing, right? So thankfully, we've never had an earthquake that caused that, but we've come close to having a parallel.
And weren't they required to cut back on fracking in Mahoning County up in Northeast Ohio because
of Davis Besse, right?
Yeah, right. Okay.
But the reality because is this
earthquake potential, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, it's called the New Madrid Fault. It goes all the way down the Mississippi River.
Right, right.
And it's a major... In fact, there was an Indian, an indigenous community called Cahokia along the Mississippi, not far from the current-day St. Louis, that we think may have been destroyed by an earthquake on the New Madrid Fault. But the reality is this, and people should understand this, the North Coast, the northern regions of Ohio, within 10, 15, 20 miles of the lake, is ideal for wind power. The wind is not as strong as in the middle of the lake, which is actually the strongest in the world. There are very, very few places on this earth that have as strong or steady winds as does the middle of Lake Erie. If you look at the wind maps, it's like purple. Lake Erie is shallow, and the wind sites are pretty close to the city, so wind in the lake is a pretty good idea, actually.
Sure.
And one of the reasons it's really good is because the water is fresh. And so you don't have the corrosive salt. There are wind farms offshore in Europe. They're actually having a hard time. You'd think they'd have cured the problem by now, but the corrosive powers of salt are pretty substantial. So the alternative, the other problem that you have is that because the water is fresh, it freezes early and you get ice bumping into the bases of the tower. But they haven't decided yet. Some people are advocating you put the towers into the bottom of the lake. Other people are saying you should have flotation devices. We'll see who wins out. But there has been a contract signed. The Cleveland Muni signed a contract to buy wind power from machines in the lake. But onshore, from Ashtabula all the way across to Toledo, it's flat. It's got a really good wind. The farmers there, a lot of the farmers really want these wind machines. You can make more money with a windmill lease than you can with corn. Not pot, but corn. and the wind sites are close to the cities. And most important, and this is the biggest problem out in the Midwest, out in the Great Plains, is they have transmission lines. So you really don't have to do new transmission right away in northern Ohio to get these wind farms. And so you've got really big corporations waiting to go into northern Ohio to build all the wind capacity the state could ever use.
Right, and
it's really cheap.
There are a number of wind turbines already, but yeah. We've got a long way to go. Right?
But what's stopping it is this one sentence in the Ohio Code, right. Which is put in there by First Energy to protect their nuclear plants from wind power. And these guys in the legislature come up with all these ridiculous reasons to protect the nukes. And the number one they talk about is the jobs. You know, there's like 2,000 jobs between the two reactors. But these guys are going to lose their jobs anyway. Nuclear plants are shutting all over the country.
Right.
And Perry and Davis Bessie, they're going to shut. You know, it's just a question of when. And then these guys are going to be out of luck, the workers at the nuclear sites. Whereas now we cut a deal. There's a deal cut in California between the utility company and the union, involving also environmental groups and the state. And it's called Retain and Retrain, where when you shut the nuclear plant, and Diablo Canyon in California is scheduled to shut in 24 and 25, we want them shut earlier, but and when they shut, there's a compensation plan for the workers. And most of them, or many of them, are going to stay on site to do the decommissioning on the reactors. And that's got to happen at Perry and Davis Bessie, and we're all for that. And then the other people who don't have jobs, they get retrained to go into the renewable energy industry. So if you let these windmills right. into northern Ohio, you're going to have a huge job market. And these guys, these men and women at the nuclear site who are unionized, just go straight into the wind industry.
And
that makes too much sense.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
But literally these facilities, these nuclear facilities, are bankrupt.
Well, the utility is bankrupt, yes. They can't compete.
And so that's where House Bill 6 comes in then?
BB 6 comes in. Yeah. Now, I was here, I remember, 20 years ago or a little less, the whole deregulation thing. The industry came in and the nuclear plants and they said, oh, we want to have a free market. You know, we want to compete for energy in the state. But first you got to pay off our nuclear plants because they're not competitive. They got $9 billion.
I hope you're not talking about stranded costs.
Yes, stranded costs.
Because you don't want to call it what it was, one of the biggest welfare checks ever written.
Ever written anywhere. The only one's
bigger. Let's just call it stranded costs.
Yeah,
California.
Poor little stranded costs, yes.
It's ridiculous. Just really ridiculous. And they said, no, we want to compete. And I stood in the same place all those years ago that I stood yesterday in the hearing room in the State House saying this is a scam. You know, these nuclear plants can't compete then. They won't compete later. You're going to bail them out 20 years ago, give them $9 billion. They're going to, you know, skate along on that money, and then they'll run out, and they'll come in here, and they'll say, oh, we can't compete, give us more money. That's exactly what's happening. And the legislature is so completely corrupt that they don't care. They're not only are they bailing out the nukes, they're cutting the wind and solar stuff and the efficiency stuff, and they're bailing out coal plants. You've got to be kidding me.
You're listening to WGRN 94.1 with Dan Dugan.
It's the Green Renaissance, and this is Community Activist Radio, and we're glad to have...
And we have a community activist in the studio.
A genuine community activist.
A solartopian.
That's right.
No doubt. So, but House Bill 6, it didn't seem to mention nuclear power.
Well, they don't talk about it.
Or the commercials.
Imagine that. Or
you know, I wanted to go vote for it because it was the Clean Air Coalition.
Right. Yes.
Nuclear
yes.
power is to clean air like Auschwitz is to population control.
Right. I mean,
it's sick. I mean, they got radiation coming out. There is carbon. There's heat. These nuclear plants are a catastrophe in progress. And it's only a matter of time, God forbid, that one of them the next one blows up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 98 in the U.S. now. As we're speaking, at the end of May, Pilgrim in Massachusetts is going to shut. At the end of September, Three Mile Island, one is going to shut in Pennsylvania. And, they're shutting left and right. But and none of them are older, really, maybe one or two, than Davis Bessie. Davis Bessie opened in 77. I mean, it's a geezer. And 87 is when Perry opened. And, these plants are just radioactive junk heaps. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever to keep them open.
Geyser and potential radioactive geyser.
Geysers and geysers.
And it would be paid for directly by the by our Ohio citizens, energy customers, right?
Yes, and not only that, but it's, they're being paid for. This bill makes people pay for Perry and Davis Bessie,
right,
who are not in their district. So people right. in southern Ohio, people in central Ohio, you know, AEP is actually a pretty progressive utility. They have a lot of wind power, a lot of solar, and AEP customers are going to be forced to pay for the bailout.
And it's like $250 a customer or something.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right. It's obscene. And I love all these right-wingers who talk about the magic of the free market until they
sure.
can't compete.
Right.
And then there they are. They're in bankruptcy trying to... And what they're doing in bankruptcy is trying to get rid of their obligations to clean up the reactors.
So okay.
They're trying to pass
right.
on the decommissioning costs.
Right, exactly. Okay.
You know, it's just a total scam. Outrageous.
It continues, doesn't it?
And so the legislature is right wing only because of gerrymandering. I mean, it's a completely gerrymandered supermajority, and that's a game they play.
Which they were found. The recent ruling was that the election, the gerrymandering needs to be straightened out. Correct, but
right.
they're dragging their feet on that, and we're doubtful we'll see it in 2020. Correct? Is it?
Well, there's a possibility where it may be what the Supreme Court says in one of those 5-4 mm-hmm. votes. But at this battleground state, there's an even number of Democrats and Republicans and even more people that are unaffiliated. But the way they've drawn these districts to be massively non-competitive
right.
is what's creating these incredibly reactionary state legislators.
And you met a few. Oh, yeah, you know, and they're awful. They're just completely in the pocket of the utilities. They say anything. They're like Trump. They don't care what they say. You know, there's this attitude of I can shoot somebody at broad and high and nobody's gonna care.
Did they try to glad hand you or, win you over? No,
they knew better.
Right?
No glad handing going on.
I didn't think so.
No,
okay.
And you can see my testimony. The Ohio Gov site.
All right.
And the one guy just kept saying, I oughta. I don't know what he meant.
Well, you know, it's a bad situation. And it's actually worse here than in other states. I mean, Indiana, mm-hmm. Michigan, New York, and Pennsylvania all have multiple times the wind energy that Ohio does. Like, you're talking 2, 3, 4 times as much.
Oh, you can. I've driven around Michigan the entire lakefronts, and there's wind farms everywhere.
Everywhere, right. But they're all being stopped in Ohio by that one sentence. You're talking about $4 billion in private investment that's being stopped by one cause in the Ohio Code. And then they turn around and they stick the public for $3 billion in bailouts, not one cent of which would be necessary in any way, shape, or form if they got rid of the wind setback. You're looking at $3 billion in public handouts here versus $4 billion in private investments here, all based on one sentence in the Ohio Code.
And other people are opposed to it as well. They're of course, the nuclear industry is stressing big oil, but the manufacturers, you know, Honda, the people that actually
right.
make things in the state, want cheap energy and cheap costs.
Right. And the other irony is that Ohio is one of the biggest manufacturers in the country of wind power components. Because there's an industrial infrastructure here.
Right.
The wind industry is making, you know, lots of stuff in Ohio, and none of it's being deployed in Ohio. It's being sent out of state.
And even though the federal government took away the right to tax deductions as well, it still is increasing.
Well, no, you can still there are still deductions around, but they
but not what it was. What I'm saying, but it continues to increase the production of these devices continues to increase, which shows you how strong a comer this is.
Well, they were going to try and track me in the hearing, and one of the Republicans, you know, was complaining that. That the wind power gets federal subsidies, and I just said, get rid of them. Get rid of all federal all subsidies to all energy, and have a totally free market. But start with making the nuclear plants get their own private insurance. That would be nice because they can't get private insurance.
Speaking
all these years, 1957. It's 62 years. In 1957, the Atomic Energy Act said that, well, actually, the Atomic Energy Act was 54. Price-Anderson was in 57. And then the Price-Anderson Act said that the utility companies can have 15 years of federal insurance, and then they're supposed to get private insurance. Never happened. 62 years later, they still have public insurance and no private insurance.
And again, it's not likely the Trump administration is going to come to the rescue, even though he's a noted capitalist a money launderer. But speaking of that, any thoughts on whether Trump should be impeached, whether the Democrats should go forth?
Oh, you know, either way is fine with me.
Bob said the I word.
Yeah. The impeachment is fine, you know.
Investigate, right?
But if it plays in a different way, I don't care. He is obviously a madman and a fascist. I will say without any hesitation that what's being done to the children at the border is the equivalent of what the Nazis did to the Jews. Shy of Auschwitz, there's no death camps down there. They're not exterminating people en masse. But those, what they're doing to the kids at the Mexican border is what the Nazis did to the Jews in the concentration camps. I was in Dachau in Germany. I visited there. My in-laws, my wife's parents were also in concentration camps. Those are the equivalent. What they're doing there is the equivalent of what Hitler would be very proud of Donald Trump with those border camps. And so I don't know
we're getting actual deaths. I mean, there hadn't been a death child in 10 years, and now you got a half a dozen.
Exactly.
I mean, under Trump.
How many will commit suicide in their teens? You know, I mean, these kids are completely traumatized and are not going to make it, you know, and then or turn into, you know, Trumps, you know, people like him. I mean, it's just horrifying. So, yes,
And they're fleeing from the Central American countries where we created the anarchy, we created the fascists, we created the drug cartels as part of the Cold War.
Right, and Honduras in particular, you can thank Obama and Hillary Clinton.
For the coup.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a terrible... And none of the newscasters talk about what are these people actually fleeing. Why are they coming here? I mean, they've got cable in Central America. They don't have to come here. The United States, just stop destroying their countries and let them have a decent life down there, and the problem goes. But you know, Donald Trump loves the border problem. He's a racist bigot, and that's his base. And he needs a distraction. But the bottom line is, I don't understand. All it would take is one hearing. You and I both know, Bob, that Donald Trump is a born criminal. His father was a mobster. He took his father's fortune and ran into the ground. He was in bankruptcy. And then when the Soviet Union fell, all these Russian mobsters came to America with their money laundering. And Donald Trump, this would take 5 minutes to explain in a congressional hearing, Donald Trump is a money launderer.
And every major business journal in America has explained it.
Yes.
Business Insider, Forbes.
Right.
You know, I mean, they've all...
Maybe not the Wall Street Journal, but, you know, and there's no mystery that Donald Trump is owned... lock, stock, and barrel by Putin. You know, Putin came in and took over Russia in 1999. His predecessor, Yeltsin, was put in by the CIA, as was Putin. Putin rounded up all the billionaires, and they sent their money to the United States. It's not some kind of sex tape that they've got.
Exactly.
They've got all his books. He's owned lock, stock, and barrel. I don't know what the problem is. So when the Democrats get their act together, I don't know. We've been waiting for 200 years for that one. Maybe we'll have a hearing and explain Donald Trump's underworld ownership by the Soviet Russian mafia.
They seem convinced that if they pursue impeachment, that the same thing will happen to them that happened to the Republicans when they went after Clinton. But the circumstances are really, really different.
Impeachment or not, I don't care. This guy just got to be got.
Well, at least investigate it.
And I'm going to put it in here that I think the best candidate that the Democrats could have for the President of the United States would be Sherrod Brown. I mean, he's the only Democrat that can carry Ohio, I think. And I've seen him interviewed. We know him. I mean, he's actually a decent human being.
Yep.
I mean, we know Bernie too, but Sherrod's not Jewish, so you know, it's a different story. So that's my two cents worth, and I'm going to go to Las Vegas and put a bet down on Sherrod to become president.
Well, that would be great, but man, there are so many candidates.
Thinking of anti-Jewish activities and Auschwitz and other things, we've got local action. Do we not, Mr. Duke?
Yes, indeed. You can go down to the State House or the rally in, a rally in Dayton, as a matter of fact. Okay. 7 North Main Street, the old courthouse in Dayton, on this coming Saturday at noon to 3. There will be good old-fashioned KKK members right out there, and you can go tell them what you think of them. So we
Of course, they will be open carrying, and they will have the right to cover their faces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're protesting, you don't have the right to cover your face.
Well, it's fine with me. I just washed my sheets, so I'm going to go down there and I'll fit right in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can flannel. Is flannel okay?
You can go to Facebook.com slash ARACBUSOH. Busso, I believe. Anyway, I hope I got that right. So anyway, if you wanted to go to Facebook first, but instead just go to the rally and, again, tell them what you
think.
Well,
then you should go up to Akron and demonstrate at First Energy.
There you go.
But I got to tell you, if they get this through, if the AB6 and passes – and they, if they bail out these nuclear plants and these coal plants and they kill the green stuff and they continue to ban wind power, Ohio is just in the toilet. I mean, you're gouging $300 million a year out of the state's budget. This is pure waste. This money is just going. You know, the top 10 executives at and board members at First Energy make are paid collectively. More than $25 million a year. So you're talking about a $300 million bailout. And they spent $3 million last year.
Maybe they'll get a raise now.
Yeah, so you're talking about 10% off. That's their VIG, right? 10%.
Well, we mean that literally.
It is
like organized crime.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. 10% of the bailout is going to
Because this is a shakedown, right?
It is a shakedown. That's exactly what it is. It's unbelievable. After all this, to throw in a bailout for the coal plants, that tells you these guys just don't care.
Well, right, we got a couple minutes left.
They care about keeping their jobs, but that's about as far as that goes, right? I mean,
well,
so they don't care what we think is what.
Ohio is opening a pretty big solar farm in southern Ohio, and we got this idea that Ohio could be 100% green powered within 5 years if the wind in the lakes and in the North Coast was developed, 100%. You know, the wind in the lake is virtually limitless. So Ohio could be a solartopia, literally within 3 years, and that's what these guys are so afraid of. So,
just like this song you were part of with.
That's right, with Pete Seeger.
Yeah.
Don't you know we're going to have a solartopia?
Right, and you got a book coming out quickly.
Yes, the Life and Death Spiral of U.S. History, from Dagana Wieda. The Solartopia, quick.
In the Garden of Weeda?
I never thought of that. That should be the theme song for the book. That's great.
Yes, indeed.
The Garden of Weeda was the founder of the Iroquois Confederacy, the first and greatest democracy, actually, in world history.
And that's where Kenny Swikard keeps Cannabis Kenny. Is still in the Garden of Weeda.
There you go. But upstate New York had an advanced Iroquois Confederacy. It was a great democracy.
Indeed.
And that's where American democracy comes from.
There you go.
And that's my book. Maybe we should talk about it another night.
All right.
Sounds great.
Thanks for being on the other side of the news, Harvey Wasserman. And Harvey and I go back a long way.
Yes, I do.
We are old. To mankind,
poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.